We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here, the old man Andreas Hale. We are back. Time to talk boxing today. If you guys haven't checked out, we did a full UFC 300 recap earlier in the week. Talked about my experience there, Andreas' experience there, which is exponentially cooler than mine because he started the new gig at ESPN. So that was great. And we talked about everything, the entire fight week, what it meant for the UFC, what they have planned going forward. Make sure you guys check that out. Also, make sure you sign up to Patreon. Full videos of every show are up on there every single week so you guys could see us instead of just hearing us. Shout out to everyone on the Patreon. We'll be recording a Patreon-only show. Don't worry about it. Tossing that to you guys. That's going to be really fun as well. And we're rolling. We're back into the normal rhythm of the show. Stuff has, you know, been a little crazy for your boy and for the old man over here. A lot of change recently, but we're still bringing you the same content. Always good. A little more hot takes. I feel like I'm ramping up the hot takes, by the way. They're coming back. It's like a midlife crisis of hot takes. I'm getting back in my bag. I don't know how long it's going to last, so I got to rattle them off while I can. Good time to start the boxing show off then when I'm in my hot take bag. Dre, so far, I mean, you know, we got to talk Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney. Does this week make you think that this has all been a work? Is it too crazy to be true?
Man, I don't know, man. Like, you like to think so, but for what? What's the purpose? Like,
I don't know.
At a certain point, you start going, well, if it is a work, then I don't, it's not working on Devin. Like, I see Oscar saying, oh, he's frustrated. Ariel said it at the press conference that happened today. He's starting to look frustrated. No, he's just kind of looking annoyed. Like, what is this guy doing?
And then I mean, he slapped him.
Yeah, if it's a game, it's a stupid game to play. I don't understand why he's doing it because he just looks like an idiot. Like, all the things he's saying are ridiculous. He's got the wrong people that's endorsing the things that he's saying. He's talking about banging people's moms. He's drinking wine. Like, if he gets smoked like I expect him to, this is all bad.
Yeah. To me, his biggest thing is his social media following. It keeps him in the cycle. It's why he's always marketable. It's why he's always a good person to fight. It's why he'll always be in the mix to fight all the other really good fighters because he sells. He's tanking his social profile.
I don't get any of this.
At this point, it has to be like, it strikes me as like Britney Spears level shit, where it's just like, yo, I'm tired of being famous. I'm tired of being this social media kid. I'm going to tank that during the build for the most important fight of my life. And maybe he's still taking the fighting aspect of it as seriously as he can. And I just think at this point, he's probably not as skilled of a fighter. He had a puncher's chance. I'm not sure if he has that, but if he's 100% training wise, Derek James still there. They've been, you know, working together this whole camp, it appears. If he steps in there and he's competitive, then okay. But I think he's done being social media Ryan. I think this is purposeful. I think he's saying, yo, I'm tired of people making money off of me. I'm tired of being who you think I'm supposed to be. And it's just gone completely left. And then full QAnon conspiracy theory shit, like off the wall. He threw out the first pitch at the Mets game and then just crushed the MLB from like some secret society type shit.
Yeah, I don't understand any of this. And this is like, I've talked to people in New York, and they're not even just New York, in the boxing industry. And a lot of people are like, this fight shouldn't happen. Like this kind of behavior it's alarming, because if there is something wrong with Ryan, the last thing he should be doing is getting punched in the head. I've said this since like February, since the first day I interviewed him on Super Bowl Radio Row, directly after the fight got announced. I was like, something ain't right with him. And if it's an act, it's a bad act. But if it's not an act, like what are we doing? Oscar, I guess you're protecting your investment.
The opposite of that. Like, your investment should go another 10 years.
But that's what I'm saying. He's still trotting him out there to fight. And I don't get it, man. This is, you know, people have said, is this the worst behavior we've ever seen? Well, like, imagine if Mike Tyson had Twitter. Like,
yeah, that was a different level.
Yeah, like before fighting Buster Douglas or Mitch Green, or I mean, Buster Douglas is the perfect example because he was with Bobby Brown in Japan, wilding out in the hotel room. So I'm sure if he had social media, he'd be doing some ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
Same with the Lennox Lewis fight. He bit Lennox and then he had erratic behavior, but he didn't have social media. Ryan has access to social media to say whatever is on his mind at any given time. I don't like it, man. I don't like it, and I don't think it's fooling anybody. I don't think that Devin's letting his guard down. Because you got to remember, these two fought six times in the amateurs.
Yeah.
Ryan beat him the first three. Devin beat him the last three. Ryan beat him the first three because Devin was younger and hadn't fought yet. Ryan caught him early. Soon as Devin figured out how to box, he beat him the next three times. So it's like, if anything, Ryan should be worried about defense than social media. Don't turn your back on your opponent because you might get caught.
He's not going to be defensively sound that quick. Like, I think he really has to focus on, you know, you have to catch him. You have to turn this into a firefight. You have to cut off the ring. You have to make it ugly. You got to fight this fight like Tim Bradley fights every fight. You got to go and ask Sean Porter, like, yo, Sean, listen, you were in the ring against Errol. Let's be real. He's more technical. He's better at boxing. You were in the ring against Bud. Let's be real. He's technical. He's better at boxing. But you gave everyone hell. How? Like, and then you got to sit down and be like, yo, how do I make it gritty and stand in the pocket and make it dirty and ugly? And even Derrick James, to like his credit, has coach or has trained world champions. So, Derrick, I think this is what we need to do, because I'm not going to outclass him. And then we can get back to the fundamental shit. But with him, it's not going to work. And I'm hoping today at the press conference, they were talking shit about standing in the middle of the ring, Max Holloway style, like, yo, let's bang, bro. Like, Devin's like, why won't I? Devin, you ain't going to do that shit.
He might.
He really thinks Ryan is just washed if he just stands in front of him.
No, he doesn't. He's better defensively. He's longer. He's sharper.
But that's not in the pocket.
That will be in the pocket. Like, if they stand in the middle of the pocket, Ryan still has to set up the left hook. He just can't wing it. Ryan doesn't have another punch. He doesn't. He hasn't developed one. He hasn't set one up. Devin's better and increasingly better. Yes, he'll stand in the pocket with Ryan Garcia if he feels like it.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't – Ryan's got to show us much more than a left hook on Saturday night. Like, he's got to show us a jab. He has to show us defense. Like, you got knocked down by Luke Campbell. I said when it happened, like, he needed it because we needed to see him get up.
Yeah.
But then you got stopped by Javante. And I'm not saying Javante isn't a big puncher, but you
arguably
got
the
caught.
Biggest.
Yeah, like, but you got caught being reckless. You don't think Devin's going to catch you being reckless?
Yeah.
You know, and Devin doesn't hit hard as hard as Javante, but it ain't really about hitting as hard as somebody. It's about just catching what you don't see. I man, unless Ryan's gonna have to show me something spectacular, because I don't trust him. I don't trust him.
I trust him less with the build. I thought If it wasn't a 50-50 fight when they signed it, I thought it was like a 60-40. Like, you know, I thought Ryan, and I always thought Ryan is very skilled. He has deficiencies.
He's not skilled. He's not skilled. He's athletic. He's not skilled.
He's athletic.
He's not skilled. He's not disciplined. He's not
offensively
skilled.
I thought he was skilled. The tank fight is where I was like, offensively he started looking weird. And just being overly aggressive. Before then, I thought he was very offensively skilled. Like, again, you mentioned that fight, he gets dropped, but he gets back up and stops Luke Campbell with a body shot. And like, he was skilled. Like, that's an Olympian. You're going against an Olympian, being able to stand in there, box, choose your punches, set up stuff offensively. And I was like, oh, all he has to do is work on his defense. And then somehow he's regressed in both to the point where he's doing a shoulder roll poorly. And then now offensively doesn't even set up the left hand correctly. And he bites on every single feint someone throws at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not skilled. Like, he has athletic ability. He's a very hard puncher. He's very fast. He has all the tools to be a damn good boxer.
Yeah.
But skilled is a whole nother, like, skilled and technician, those are different.
So maybe categories. He's toolsy.
You call it that, but whatever it is, he's not disciplined. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
He's just not disciplined. And I don't understand at this point in your career, like, where do you think you're going to walk in with Devin Haney, not be disciplined, rely on something that everybody has seen, and then win? Like, he has to catch him. So all he's really got is he has to catch him. The thing is, he does have a puncher's chance. He has a tremendous left hook. He has a great left to the body. But unless you show Devin something else, they see all that shit coming. They see all of it coming. Devin can get hit. He can get hurt. I just don't see it. I don't.
It's a tough battle. Like, I there's not many ways for him to win.
There's one way for him to win. There's one. He's not winning a decision.
No, and that's a tough way for him to win. Even at this point, to see him just knocking out someone as defensively sound when he wants to be as Haney is tough. Because even if you drop him once and he gets back up, he's just not going to play with you anymore. No. Like, say the Haney is like, yeah, fuck it, we're going to stand in there. Boom, he gets caught. He gets dropped. He shakes the cobwebs off, comes out for the next round. You're not going to see that same Haney again. He's just going to get on his bike, out jab you and out point you and say, call me whatever the hell you want. But you're going to call me a champion and a winner.
Yeah, I don't
and
see
he ain't it, knocking him smooth out cold.
No.
Pacquiao shit.
I don't see it. I don't like anything about this fight. I don't even like this in New York. I think it's a bad place for the fight.
Yeah, it can't be selling great. Like, why? Neither of them have like a strong following in New York.
Because
Barclays just wanted it because they
No, because Canelo was doing T-Mobile and they didn't want to be that close to two pay-per-views in Vegas. Two big fights in Vegas, they don't really do them.
I put that shit on LA.
LA's the playoffs. So you can't
disrespectful to the Nets. They looked at this 3 months ago and was like, these motherfuckers ain't making it.
They will never be. So it's nothing to worry about. But you can't compete with the Lakers and crypto. So you have to book a venue or you push it back further. And neither party wanted to push this fight back any further because both of them want to fight twice this year, at least. Well, it probably won't happen more than twice. But Brooklyn was just ill, right? Like,
yeah, it makes no sense.
I know people in New York is like, don't say that. We don't get it very many fights. But the reality is that this ain't a Brooklyn fight. LA, you know, Haney's got Cali roots. I mean, they both have Cali roots.
Both. Could have sent it to the Bay.
Yeah, Haney's in Vegas now. Ryan's still in California. Haney's from NorCal. Like, this is a West Coast fight. Yeah. This is absolutely a warm weather West Coast fight, not a Brooklyn fight. But whatever.
His last fight sold really well in the Bay.
Yeah, the pro-grade fight sold well. But you want to do a big market for a big pay-per-view like this, and Vegas would have been the perfect spot. But, you know, you lose out to Canelo who's fighting Jaime Munguia, so I don't know.
I'd have been like, fuck it. There's 2 weeks in between.
You're not going to do it because you're not splitting the baby on people buying tickets. You're just not going to do it. Canelo's going to be king of Vegas, and you're just not going to compete.
And it's a holiday weekend, so it's a little different.
Like, you're just not gonna say, well, we'll just do it and see what happens, because regardless, people on the West Coast are not coming to two fights 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
They're just not doing it.
I definitely would have brought it to Cali. We'll see how it works out. Maybe, again, New York is boxing starved and they're just like, yo, we're going to go and show up, and they'll drop the price or comp some tickets and it might look great.
I mean, I feel it'll be fine. It would have felt bigger in Vegas. It's a Vegas fight.
Yeah.
Because like, you're not even doing the Garden because of the Knicks. You're doing Barclays because the Nets suck. So it's a fight of this magnitude where...
It could have been planned better. You had plenty of time.
Yeah.
You knew when Canelo was going to fight.
A fight of this magnitude where you know... Where Oscar knows how big this is for his camp, right? Like, Ryan goes out there and loses or gets embarrassed. Well, you got Virgil Ortiz left, right? And that's kind of what it boils down to. And the clear path is Boots Ennis is now signed with Matchroom. That's the fight that's going to eventually happen. It's going to be Boots and Virgil Ortiz at some point, relatively soon.
Yeah, soon? Like,
I mean, in the next 2 years. Boots ain't staying at 47 too long. Virgil's at 54.
Yeah, Virgil's like, already at 50.
It's an easy fight to make if that's what you want to do. And these are two guys that are expected for a collision course. But outside of that, who do you have? You got Schofield. Who else do you have at Golden Boy?
That's it. It's not a long list of fighters.
No, you're not maximizing your potential, but Oscar being Oscar.
Oh, Edgar Berlanga.
He doesn't count. I do not count that man to any degree as being a star. Nothing. All that shit washed up several years back when his knockout streak ended. He hasn't looked good in his past few fights. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's not a deep roster for Oscar. Again, which makes it weirder that he'd risk putting Ryan out there less than 100%. Because this isn't 100%. People say whatever they want. It's not 100%.
Is he ever going to be 100%? No.
I don't know if he'll be it again. No. I don't know.
So I feel like Oscar's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, he's got a fight. The kid ain't right. But he's going to keep demanding things. He's going to go on social media and make us look stupid for not making the fight. Give him the fight. Give him what he wants again. Let him get beat up again. Yeah. Figure it out.
And might humble him.
My man will be at Misfits Boxing before you know it.
Listen, that's a bag. But him versus KSI, that might
that's,
be a look.
That's kind of where we're at these days. If Ryan, man, I know I'm sounding down on Ryan. I know some of the people out there are like, man, Ryan's got a chance. This is all for a joke. I said this fight was bad before any of this behavior happened.
Yeah.
I said it from the beginning. I was like, I don't know if you want to fight Devin now. Like, Devin is coming into his own. Like, remember, you got to remember, Devin's younger than Ryan.
Yeah. But
Devin has made great strides. And now at 140 pounds, the way he beat up on Regis Progre, I don't know about this one. It's not a good look. And now it's even worse because this guy's got erratic behavior and he's going to get smoked. I think Devin's going to hurt him. I truly do. I think Devin's going to hurt Ryan Garcia.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If Ryan loses embarrassingly, I could 100% see like a Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. just steep decline.
That's probably exactly where we're at, right?
Yeah. Where I mean, the guy had a championship. He was a champion. He was a legit champion, I believe. He had the
Yeah, I
Canelo
bet.
fight, and then no. And then outside of the ring went left.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to come back after getting beat by Anderson Silva. Like,
We don't need that man anywhere near a boxing ring.
yeah, it's fucking crazy. So what's your official prediction for the fight?
Devin stops him in like eight.
I have to see Devin's power before I predict Devin to have power. But and that's I don't even know if Devin needs power. Like Ryan may just get fed up and get DQ'd or just stay on the stool and just get tired of being peppered with a jab, throw a fucking fit and just not go back in. That's probably the most likely scenario if you had to ask me now, but I'll pick Devin runaway like 10 rounds to two, maybe 11 to one, like non-competitive on the cards. But I would take Ryan Garcia biting Devin Haney or hitting with multiple low blows to get DQ'd before I take Ryan Garcia to win by knockout.
Yeah, I think like from very early on this fight, depending on how it's going, if things start going downhill in a hurry, I expect Ryan to have like very strange behavior, like
Yeah.
trying to hump him, talking shit, trying to slam him, like all
Pull
kinds
Adrian
of.
Broner with the hump.
Yeah, but worse, man. I think it's gonna be really bad. So we'll see. We'll see. Like, this is hard. Like, I've had a lot of people like, you're gonna be out there for the fight? And I was like, I don't even wanna be. Like, I'm not feeling this. Like, the build towards this fight, I'm not feeling it. Like, this should be a fight that should feel massive. And it
Yeah.
feels like a circus. And even some of the clips that we've seen, Devin saying when they're Ryan like beatboxing, and Devin was like, is this guy taking this serious? Like, what is
No,
this?
that's one of the best clips ever. By
It is hilarious.
the way, I was like, yo, he's not n his self. I don't know. Maybe he is. The only time I've seen it, and I don't know what's going on with him, so I don't want to speculate, is it being true? But I have seen, like, when we started this podcast, I was like substituting in like middle schools and shit. And, to supplement some income while being a struggling journalist. And I used to have to do like some specialty classes or be like a one-on-one teacher and all that good stuff. And I had a student who was mad cool, and he actually played on a football team at DP. Kid's wildly talented, but he had like IEP or something. And he was straight and he had like his medicine and everything was cool and blah, blah. But there were like days, and you would know when he forgot to take his medicine in the morning, and he was just all over the place. And he had no internal filter. So everything he thought would just come out. And they obviously, like, schools would be like, he's a behavior issues. Like, nah, fam, like, he's good every other day. Like, I talk to him every day. Like, he's cool. He's chill. He forgot his medicine. It is what it is. And like, if you go to football practice, you might flip on somebody. Like, you just got to be like, yo, we'll just chalk it up. We'll try it again tomorrow. But yeah, it's one of those things where when I look at Ryan, it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know where he went. I understand like he has a deep belief in faith. He does a bunch of stuff. And people in LA are just different anyway. So you go to the wrong fucking meetup and someone's like, the hell with pills. Oh, like, this is the way to go. And next thing you know, you're just fucking trying stuff all natural and you're kind of all over the place. So obviously we've seen he's susceptible to conspiracy theories and weird shit. So I don't know what led him astray, but this isn't the Ryan Garcia we even saw a year ago. I did an interview when I was at ESPN a year ago with him. It's not the same guy.
Nah, not even close. The bigger question is, how culpable are the parents, right? Like, Ryan's, for all intents and purposes, he's still not like a full-grown adult, right? Like, he's
No.
still in his mid-20s. I know there's plenty of people in the world that are in their mid-20s still live with their parents and look for their parents for guidance.
Yep.
If you're that man's parents and you're like just kind of sitting down and just watching him do this stuff, man, you're part of the problem too.
What can you do though? And I always wonder this. And I'll ask you, because we're both parents, and now you're, a parent to multiple children. And my kids are very smart. Your kids are insanely smart. Especially for being little, insanely smart. And they're probably all going to be better than us. But if they end up like a $5 million tech millionaire, 10 million, like, and they're supporting the family, not necessarily that we need it, but for them, it is. What are you supposed to do? Because the entire family's livelihood is on him. If he doesn't fight, it's not like they got day jobs anymore. They ain't writing. They ain't me and you. We don't got podcasts. They're not lawyers. They're not none of that shit. What are they going to do if they pulled him out of this fight? No one eats for another 8 months.
I'm fine. I'm protecting my kid. That's like none of
I
this
would
shit
agree.
matters.
I'm just
Like,
wondering. Like, I
yeah.
always like, it's a weird position to be in.
Yeah, I'm protecting my kid from the world. Like, I don't need, we've made enough money. We probably made more money, like in the Garcia family situation, we've made more money than we can possibly imagine, right?
Yeah, already. Tank fight, everything already.
The only thing I don't want to do is lose my son. That's all that's left. And I mean, like you mentioned, like tech people, and this is boxing where you can get physically hurt,
Yeah.
right? Sending your son to battle knowing that he ain't right for a check.
Could be your last check. It could be his last breath.
Like, boxers have died in the ring. I'm not saying Ryan could die. It's just the risk that comes with it. And knowing that your son's not 100% prepared, again, this is all assuming that this is not a troll job, which I just don't believe. But I'm protecting my kid before anything else. Like, Oscar, fuck your fight. I'm getting my kid out of here.
Haney's dad saying, like, oh, we're sending him in. If he dies, he dies. I'm sending my son in there to kill him. It's just like, oh.
It's a lot, man. Like, Ryan has just said some crazy stuff.
Yeah,
Like,
it's got
crazy.
personal on both ends. The
Yeah, it's
mom
been,
stuff, like,
it's a
before he got
lot.
slapped, like, where's your mom at? Where's your mom? Like,
Say like, this is a lot, bro. Like,
personally, I don't know where Devin's mom is. I never really asked in any interview, but I'm assuming there's a story behind that that is not nice to ask someone in the public eye.
it's not like these are two strangers off the street. It's not like Javante and Ryan. These two have history, right? They know each other. There's lines that are being crossed very clearly, very explicitly. And it gets a lot more personal when you dig into things that again, the day that I had him on Radio Row, Ryan said Devin's dad's a pimp. And I was like, uh-oh. Because again, I was like his second interview after he announced that fight on Radio Row. This is what you came out and say. I was like, whoa, like, what are we doing here? You immediately made this personal, immediately, for no reason. Whether it's true or not, which is like the worst kept secret in boxing history in its past, but why are we getting this personal for a fight? What are you trying to? It was perfectly fine if you promoted this fight, was like, yo, me and Devin have history. This is game seven. That's it. That's the tagline, game seven. That's it. That's it. Instead, you dragging families into this shit. It's wild, man. I don't like it. I don't
No,
like it at all.
if it's to sell, I'm not sure it's going to do what Ryan anticipates it doing. People might bootleg it. They might, oh, you're going to get social numbers. If your ass gets knocked out, you're going to be trending everywhere. You're going to be
Of
number one on
course.
SportsCenter. You're going to be wherever you want to be. But that's not going to equate to your bank account.
Not at all.
So I don't know. The juice is not worth the squeeze in this case. Like there's no way that all this shit, say Ryan wins. Just throw this shit. If he wins, then what?
I
Because
mean, if
you
he were
can't
to.
go back to just be like, I was just kidding. I'm normal. I told you it worked. No, you're gonna double down and be a weirdo for the rest of your life.
I mean, he could and say it's the greatest act in boxing history, which it would be. If Ryan went out there and won and just turned completely normal after that, it'd be the greatest act in boxing history. I'd still frown upon it, right? Like, you didn't need to do all
But the
this.
next fight, you don't think he's going to do that again? Tank
No.
rematch.
No. If it was an act, I don't know. There's too many things here. Like, there's too many moving parts. I don't like any of it. So, either way. I don't see Ryan getting out of this fight awake. I think
No.
he gets hurt. Like, Devin is preying on the fact that Ryan quit against Gervonta Davis. He's preying on that fact.
Yeah.
So he's gonna put hands all over him, and he's going to force that corner to do something about it. That's Devin's not a one hitter quitter type of guy, but if he's just starts high, because what he was doing to Regis Prograis, if he does that to Ryan Garcia, it's gonna be worse, way worse.
Ryan just can't quit. Like, people have gone the distance. Prograis took an ass whooping, went the distance.
He
Like,
did.
Devin's not really yet, and this could be the turnaround, really shown the ability to sit down and sit on his punches and really take someone out of there. But he's just going to beat your ass for 12 rounds.
Yeah.
And with Ryan, it's just, at the very least, you just can't be a quitter. Because right now, people peg you as a quitter.
They do. Fair or unfair, that's how people look at him.
Yeah.
So he's got it. But, you know, I don't think Devin's going to drop him with a body shot. I think he's just going to be bouncing punches off his head. That jab is some. I mean, Ryan talks about how quick he is, and you can be as fast as you want to be. But if you ain't punching in between punches, if you're not defensively sound enough to not project what the counter is, Devin's too smart for this shit. So, yeah, man, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's not looking the best for the future of Ryan Garcia this weekend. Only other thing, we just had a couple announcements, and we'll just talk about them before we get out of here. Deontay Wilder, Big Bang Zhang is official. They had a full press conference, 5v5. Is this during the press conference? Wilder says, you're going to see the old Deontay Wilder. I want to catch a body Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber. Any chance we see that Deontay Wilder again on June 1st?
There's a chance, but you can't tell me and convince me. I hate when fighters become up in age and they go, I'm going to go back to my old self. It's impossible. You can't
gone.
Become your old self. It's gone. You got to be you have to adjust and be a different version of who you once were. And I've always hated it. I've told fighters that before. I was like, listen, I don't like the idea that you could try to summon your 30-year-old self or your 25-year-old self. You can't. Physically, you're not the same dude anymore. Deontay looked piss poor against Joseph Parker. Like, he looked terrible.
Yeah.
Headhunting, no real strategy. But why are we acting like Deontay Wilder is this very skilled boxer where skills just went out of the window for that fight? He's older. He's a tad slower. He's been through some wars. Granted, Zhang is the perfect opponent for him because he's going to be right there to hit. Parker's a lot more crafty. But the whole idea, like, you're going to see the old Deontay Wilder. Nah, man, just beat Deontay Wilder. Dude,
yeah.
I don't need the old. I don't need any of that shit.
And Zhang has a similar skill set to what Tyson Fury used to beat Wilder. So he's going to punch Wilder. He's going to hit him. And Wilder doesn't seem to like being punched.
My problem with Zhang is, and I said this at the Parker fight, is he doesn't put punches together. Like,
no.
He's not a
And he has no gas player. Tank.
No. So this is really just a battle of the bombs where two guys are just going to launch things and see what happens. The best part of this whole story is the moment I saw Eddie Hearn with Deontay Wilder, like, that's my fighter, I was like, what is this shit? Knowing, of course, being with the zone and knowing how much Deontay didn't like Eddie Hearn, and Eddie Hearn was just because they couldn't get the Joshua fight done. And now Deontay's with Eddie Hearn. It's the craziest picture to me, but it's like CM Punk going back to WWE. It's crazy. Man.
With that Saudi money, they'll stand next to Don King. Tyson will stand next to Don King for a Saudi check.
Yeah. I mean, the whole 5v5 thing is going to be kind of fun. It's just crazy to call a 5v5. It's like me having my the greatest White Sox of all time, and then I just go pick up Bo Jackson in his prime years as the Royals, not the Bo Jackson that played for the White Sox. Like, it's like you're just picking up another dude that's not really matchroom. He never has been. How is this matchroom 5v5? You just picked up a dude off the street for kickball.
Off
right?
The street.
Like, this is crazy. But nevertheless, it's a fun concept. And then, of course, you got Better Be Evan Bivol headlining that card. It's June 1st.
June 1st.
This is out of control.
Every 2 weeks. So we have this fight this weekend, Ryan's fight, and then Canelo's fight, which is another pay-per-view. Then Fury, Usyk 2 weeks after that, which is on my birthday, May 18th. And then June 1st, 2 weeks exactly after that, we have this fight.
Yeah, we have this fight, UFC 302, and Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal all same on night. The same day.
Or same
all
day.
Three are pay-per-views.
That can't be great.
No, no. Diaz and Masvidal get the short end of the stick here. Because
I mean, I'm not positive that. Is it a matchroom pay-per-view for this 5v5?
But at least it's earlier in the day. And people do want to see Beterbiev and Bivol.
Oh, right? 100%. Yeah.
So it's early in the day. People are going to want to see that. And then MMA people are going to, they're not going to be buying Diaz Masvidal. They're going to watch Dustin Poirier and Islam Makhachev. Like, that's the fight that they're going to watch. Diaz and Masvidal get the short end of the stick.
Yeah, they're not going to get either fan base buying their shit. They really should just push it back a week.
And it's funny because, like, Masvidal has been talking about it. He's like, this is what I wanted, but this is the only date that they gave me. And I'm still getting a bag, so it is what it is. But, yeah, man. I mean,
man
5v5,
is honest.
Yeah, 5v5 is going to be, like, the day is going to be busy. It's going to be one of those busy days. I'll probably be in New Jersey for that fight, but for the UFC 302. But, man, that's going to be a busy-ass Saturday.
Crazy. And then last one before we get out of here. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano is going to be on the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson undercard. I really wish they could have headlined again. I thought there was more juice in that. Katie coming off a big win. Serrano got a win in her last fight. I loved the atmosphere last time as two women headlining the event, and it was just special. But I get it. There's a lot of money. It's Netflix. There's a lot of eyes on this fight. And it's free for everyone. So if they sold pay-per-view last time, they're going to put some butts in seats and some eyes on the TV for this one.
Got to keep in mind, too. Like, I've seen a lot of people saying, this is so embarrassing. And I was like, I get it. Like, you do want Taylor Serrano to headline. I get it. But is there a bigger attraction that's going to be Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul? No.
No.
Netflix is out to break streaming records. They're like, that's their goal. And I said this at the very beginning when this fight got announced. I was like, is that going to be enough to fill up AT&T? Now you put Taylor and Serrano on the card. Now we got something going. Like, now you're not just coming for the sideshow. You're coming for the biggest women's fight in boxing history, right? The biggest rematch, I guess you could say.
Yep.
Now you have those fans, and they'll add something else to this card. Don't know what. They'll add another fight.
Well, they have Juana who will probably fight on this card.
I don't care.
And they'll bring, like, you don't care, but a lot of casual kids care. Like, my daughter will tune in to watch that shit because she loves Euphoria and the kid is on that card. And she's like, yeah, like that's some real shit. Like, tons of people will show up to watch him fight. He'll be on the card. Who's the young kid they got who's really good? Damn, I just gave him Prospect of the Year, like last year.
Ashton Sylvie?
Yeah, he'll be on the card. Like, so there'll be some good fights. I feel like, maybe they need, like, one veteran fight.
Yeah, I think they're going to add one more fight. I don't know what it'll be yet, but there'll be one more fight because, of course, they want this to do extremely well. But, yeah, they want to break all the streaming records. So they're going to try to find something for everybody and not overlap too much. And everybody will take home a nice big bag of money.
That's the key at the end of the day.
I truly think this is Amanda's last fight. Win or lose, I think this is it.
I think so. It has to be, like, the eye injury and that not going well. And now not running that back and just jumping into this. It's just like, yo, get the bag.
I mean, she's going up three weight classes. This is at lightweight.
Yeah.
So she's going up three weight classes to fight Katie.
No,
so,
bigger than lightweight.
Oh.
Junior welter. Yeah.
Yeah. Super lightweight. Chantel Cameron was super. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy because they're both older, but Amanda's got way more miles on her body. Yeah, this is it. This is it.
Yeah, Katie's going to be even bigger, even stronger. Amanda's not going to gain defense. It's going to be a firefight. Katie might stop her.
Katie doesn't have enough power.
She's just so much bigger at another weight class.
She is, but Amanda's always been a bigger puncher. So it'll be, and Katie has been buzzed like multiple times. It's just really what Amanda Serrano shows up that night because we kind of know what Katie Taylor's going to do. I just got to see if the age has truly gotten to Amanda. Unfortunately, we didn't get a last fight from her. But I'm pretty positive that's the fight I'll be at. Like, I don't care what the UFC is doing. The ESPN is going to send me out there. And I was interested from day one. I'm very interested to see what the atmosphere for that fight is like. I'm
going to be out there, too.
It's going to be It's Dallas. I hate where AT&T Stadium is. I hate having to go out there. I hate having to take a
Stores.
shuttle. It's not even close to anything. But this will be very interesting to see. And again, kudos to the Paul brothers, man. Like,
There's a media shuttle.
there usually is. Like, yeah, like when I did Spence, Mikey Garcia, like we had a shuttle.
Okay. I have to figure out. I already put in my credential. I just got to figure out like what hotel people stay at. If I want a different hotel, can I just,
Yeah, I mean, probably everybody would be at the host hotel, wherever
yeah,
that is, double
parlay
booked.
with you on the shuttle? Yeah, I mean, it's all right. You want to go to a concert the night before? I know we're wrapping up the show, but we can go to a concert. I think
Yeah,
Chris Brown is the night before in Dallas.
of course you would try to take me to a Chris Brown concert.
Let's do it. It's the night before.
I feel weird about Chris Brown. I
I'm
don't know
sorry,
why.
Usher is not there that night before, but we watched Chris Brown. You
I mean,
might
maybe.
leave with a different opinion. You ain't doing shit else. It's Dallas. You ain't got nothing else to do.
Man, I'm probably gonna be working. We'll see.
All
We'll
right,
see.
Raymundi. Filing an article at 11 p.m.
That's what he does. The maniac. He filed the
Yeah.
Katie Taylor Manasarano story. I'm like, bro, go cover the NFL. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, so no, man, it's great. Can't wait to be out there. Plenty more combat sports like we just detailed and laid out. And there's whispers of even more stuff to come. Like the Gervonta fight is supposed to get a date, which might be Juneteenth, which I know you won't be at. Because you never cover any of Juneteenth fights because it's your lovely wife's birthday.
Yeah, so
But
absolutely not.
no, oh, she ain't having that. No, you'll be on a nice trip and well deserving of more so her than you, but there's rumors that the fight is that weekend, and it might be co-main of Caleb Plant versus Charlo, so that'd be one hell of a card. And but all those fights are still on the docket to really play out over the summer, so plenty of stuff to keep an eye on in boxing. We appreciate everyone. We still have a pro wrestling show to come, so make sure you guys keep an eye out for that. AEW, we're covering heavy AEW this week because they have the pay-per-view going on. So if you're like, yo, you guys have been so WWE heavy, dude, WrestleMania preview, recap, all right, we got you. AEW is up next. Again, sign up for the Patreon if you haven't already. We appreciate everyone. We'll see how this fight plays out. Lord knows. But it's probably our first show next week if some wild shit happens. So we'll be back early next week talking boxing. For myself, for the old man Andres Hale. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.